Good evening.
Yes, indeed. Good evening. It's been some time. We got a show tonight. Yes, indeed. There's a lot happening. Hope you all are getting what you need out of your summer's worth. Late nights and long days. Bud Justice, Pan Agent 67 online. Just been busy with the daily living of affairs, reorganizing ourselves for great change, transformation at that. We caught wind of some significant developments up north. We know that Washington has taken the lead when it comes to our movement today, taking it into another dimension of reality. And tonight we have the privilege of discussing with Mr. Brian Grimmer up north about the developments that have occurred in Ellensburg, Washington. Today there was an article released, and Brian brought to my attention that the city of Ellensburg is the first city in our area to set up and address the issue of medical marijuana collective gardening. Imagine that. Last night, the city council adopted an emergency ordinance on the issue, and it apparently means that council members are attuned and listening to public comment for and against the idea. In the meanwhile, a temporary city ordinance is now in place to allow people to legally cultivate medicine and cannabis at that for medicinal purposes. And we know that that's just a stepping stone to legitimizing the garden culture economic reality, the alternative to the collapsing corporatocracy and the reorganization of values and what have you, as we begin to model an alternative to very confusing illusory economy of affairs. Well, the article here is quite it's exciting. It's linked to video content. You can dial this up, and in the course of discussing the detail, the ins and the outs, so to speak, I'm going to take a moment to bring on our co-host, Mr. Grimmer up north, but I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Let's see if we can't bring him in now. And Brian, are you there?
Yep. How's it going?
Good. Hey. We're live on the wire, and I want to thank you for joining us. Give us a heads up. Give us a heads up, and let's just take it from the top.
All right. Well, Tuesday of this week, the city council here in Ellensburg, or pardon me, Monday night, the law apparently went into effect as of Wednesday, is my understanding. Of course, Dave was needed to write up the law and so on. The City Council of Ellensburg unanimously voted to allow cannabis patients in the state, or in living within the city of Ellensburg, to collectively gather together in groups of 3 up to 10 patients to grow up to 45 plants as a group, sharing experience and expenses within the city limits.
Yay. Well, that's amazing. And this is the only this is the only county in Washington that's actually taken the steps to do so, right?
Well, we have a couple of other communities that have done so. Gig Harbor placed a moratorium, I believe. Vancouver placed a moratorium. Yakima placed a moratorium. Mukilteo, Seattle, and there's one more city. I apologize, I cannot remember the name. It was on a Seattle Post Intelligencer, and I have not been able to recover that URL just yet to find that. But there's been two to three other cities in the state that have done this. Ellensburg is the first one east of the Cascades.
Well, that's dynamite. You know, this in lieu of the U.S. Department of Justice on Monday filing a legal brief indicating the federal government would not prosecute state employees for implementing state medical marijuana programs. And
yes.
That's quite a relief. And when we see, the feds taking steps to reconcile themselves, and it's
mm-hmm.
just but the solidities considering what we've been going through, it's been a rather intensified war on the people when we look at the police brutality and the justifications for this so-called controlled substance that's been yoked with heroin and methamphetamines and has no medicinal place in the in human affairs of the world at large. And rather than compromise the civilizational advance of capitalism and the best interests of the corporatocracy, we would rather burn it up in the process of trying to get back to where we once belong. Well, what a relief. So, Brian, you've played a role in affairs up north. I've just caught a glimpse here and there about, you know, you and some of your activities and your passion for cannabis. You're a patient, and you're working through an issue. I think you got in an accident or something.
Yeah, it's back when I was a young pup, 18 to 21 years old, I used to race motorcycles. The big street bikes, we're not talking the lightweight Hurricanes and Katanas of today, but we're talking the old CB900s, the CB1100s, you know, the old cruiser-style bikes, a lot of weight with them. Well, I laid one down and ended up landing on top of me, and basically it broke my back. It wasn't a severe break, but it was unknown, so I never really got it treated. I mean, I was able to get up and walk away from this, and, I mean, it's the only trauma I've ever had to my back in my life. So, you know, we're looking at that incident as being the cause of my fracturing in my L4 vertebra. It's an interesting fracture in that it's the shape of a V, and it's on the gut side. So if you're familiar with how, you know, a vertebrae is shaped, you've got the disc shape where you've got the almost a shock absorber type material that keeps your spinal cord all protected. Well, apparently this had gotten so compressed that it actually caused the vertebrae to actually rupture inwards. And, well, that's been a source of my back pain since, apparently. I mean, they've had me on opiates. They've had me on muscle relaxants to try to, reduce the inflammation and the muscle cramping due to the nerve damage and so on. And basically the only thing it's really done effectively is get me hooked on them. I mean, bless pharmaceutical, yes, they have their place in the world. But for pain management, I think we need something a little bit more friendly to the body than things like opiates when they are known to be a source of abuse, and yet they are packed with something called acetaminophen, which, not being a doctor or anything, but from what I've read, 2,400 milligrams will in a short period of time will cause your liver to shut down. I don't like that idea. I mean,
no.
Why would I want to poison myself with something that's going to kill me?
Right. Well, you know, the arguments for this, for the legitimization of cannabis is an ongoing outreach effort. And, you know, how many times have we said it before? We keep saying it again. that there are organic alternatives. We know that 85% of people in this country, according to certain threads of intelligence online, and I can't recall the exact one, but up to 85% of people in this country suffer from some type of back pain. And that's just, you know, the spinal column. But we're not talking about all of the other anomalies that come along with being a human being who works day in and day out. And I don't care, you know, what facet of economy you find yourself in. We all deal with pain every day, especially if you're a practitioner or a cultivator or actually working on yourself to integrate your nervous system, to take better care of yourself, whatever form of exercise or personal discipline you're developing. There's a facet of discomfort and pain there.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. I mean, and it's not just, the pain aspect. Yes, opiates can be effective in controlling pain for a short period of time. The unfortunate aspect is your body adapts very, very quickly to the chemical opiate. You build up a resistance. You end up having to take more to get the same effect. And the unfortunate side effect of that, or side issue of that, is that opiates are extremely addictive. I mean, you can't, do a brief search and you'll see, you know, the pharmaceutical prescription abuse crisis that we have in this country. I mean, we have people standing up, you know, saying end the pill mills. And, you know, what better to replace the pill mills with than something that's natural? Nobody, you know, is on record, other than perhaps the rare case of anaphylactic shock, which we have with such things as shellfish. Nobody's died from cannabis. You know, six people a year die from aspirin. You know, the opponents of cannabis sit there and say, oh, we don't want people using it for just a headache. Why not? It's safer than aspirin. It was used to help Mary Todd Lincoln calm her nerves after her president was shot in the back of his head in front of her eyes. Queen Victoria was prescribed tinctures of cannabis to aid in her menstrual cramps. It has medical value. It has a history of medical use. You know, aspirin was originally a natural substance that came from the bark of a tree. Now it's a synthetically made acetylic, I believe it's called acetylic acid.
You know, it's so ironic. We talk about these things, and we've been talking about them forever, it seems. I just had a friend whose father passed over. He's been going through this arduous process for 2 years and giving up his ghost, and he decided to do so during an intense bout of fear, which was the result of the pharmaceuticals that they had him on. They had him on morphine and I'm not sure what else, but he would call in on occasion and tell James about his nightmares and his apprehension about the meds that he was on. And James being a government employee for the Agency for the Blind, he and I went rounds discussing the benefits of cannabis and the alternative that was available to his father, which he would not endorse or which he would not embrace. He kept insisting that there wasn't enough research, there wasn't enough validity to cannabis as an alternative. And I saw his father go through essentially hell in the process of passing over, and I saw his son going through the same thing, to where his son became so disconnected from the situation that he was actually on vacation for the final 3 weeks of his father's death and returned just in time to wrap it up. And it goes back to two fundamental facets of cannabis, which corporate America does not want you to have. The first thing that cannabis does is induces a quality of self-reflection, body wisdom. it actually creates a whole body realization and a localization of awareness. And within that meditation, time comes to a, well, it slows way down. And you come into a particular quality of timelessness as you begin to slow down and localize your awareness into your body, and begin to breathe appropriately in the course of coming on to this extended sensibility. And today, you know, corporate America is at odds with this type of experience. You know, they want you in the saddle at a Monday morning, you know, 9 to 5, and they want their slaves to be on time.
They want their slaves to be on time. And cannabis would not prevent that. I mean,
and
you
cannabis,
know, opiate.
Right.
Opiates put you to sleep. They knock you out. Either that, or they make you so that you're just so delirious that you can't function coherently. Cannabis effectively treats the pain, and if it is not overly used, can be used, and no one is the wiser. I mean, what other pain medication can you think of out there that not only is effective in curing the pain, but curing one of the major side effects of pain, being angry with the world? I mean, yeah. find me a patient with back pain who, when his back is hurting, is smiling.
Right.
You'd be hard-pressed. Cannabis relieves that pain and gives you a little bit of a mood elevation, and allows you to just, you know, what little pain is left over, you're like, so what? I'm happy.
Exactly. You know, and on that note, Brian, it's like within a particular context, you know, you'll find that there is an appropriate way of working with this medicine, this spirit. Really, it's a feminine helper. It's an aid. We say that the Shakti of this herb has been misunderstood. The Shakti of this herb is very much the quintessential facets of nurturing that the feminine or feminine half side has to offer and actually brings us in with. That when we talk about cannabis, we're talking about the appropriate administration of this medicine, and that's why we've got to bring up M-scale, and we've got to bring up the New Start paradigm and start really looking at the Eastern influences and the facets of civilization that did understand how to use cannabis, and they do understand the dynamics of cannabis consciousness. And
well,
one of the things that I really want to drive home before passing the baton is that most people you talk to today, one, are unaware of their type, their blood type, and the connection with biochemistry and the foods that they eat. A great majority of people today, especially women, are out of sync with their 28-day biorhythm. The sleeping patterns are thrown off. We're not getting enough rest. We're not in sync or in concert with natural time. And so in restoring first and foremost this harmony or this facet of this idea of flowing with a day's worth or within a cycle or a cyclic continuing consciousness, that we want to really remind people that you know, the human species at large is neurotic. We are, according to the law of time and the new knowledge being presented, out of sync. And because we're out of sync with the natural law, we are misfiring and finding our nerves wrecked and racked when trying to integrate experiences and new relations and what have you.
Definitely. We talk about, you know, the DEA recently, I mean, with their no medical evidence judgment. I mean, we have 8,000 years of evidence. We have, records dating, 8,000 years ago of Chinese using cannabis medicinally as well as an industrial fiber. We have, evidence from every great civilization as they came across Asia and finally spread into Europe. We have the Hundred Years' War, you know, in a large part was fought over, you know, hemp and hemp resources, because hemp was available in Russia in great quantity, and the English had to control the Baltic Sea. Well, the Danes would sit there and use basically small pirate ships to try to infiltrate that trade. That war helped our independence come about.
Word. So, yeah, there's a lot to this. There's a lot to this, and that's half of the joy, is just rediscovering, you know, the depth of this consciousness. We say cannabis consciousness because there's a certain facet of time travel that comes into play when recollecting, you know, the value of this herb. And, you know, in my personal experience, it's always been used as a fellowship offering. And when I started, my mother allowed me to medicate from home, which really helped me to curb my frustrations when entering into my freshman year of high school, you know, and all of the angst that you can carry and trying to find your place. And it was cannabis that opened those doors between the different grades that actually built bridges between, you know, jocks and rockers and punks and the conservatives, the liberals. I mean, everybody found something within the matrix, and so we haven't even began to discuss the social, political, sacramental facets of cannabis. But that's the macro ring of things. I want to bring it back to, you know, quickly before we get into the last 6 minutes of the program, to discuss your work and ways and means for people to contact you. And I want to reiterate to people that the more you know, the less you show. So the challenge is to draw each other in and draw each other out of those alleyways or those closet case patterns of thought that make us recluse. And if you're medicating or utilizing cannabis in the afternoon hour from 2:30 to 5, give your brain a rest. Give your mind a rest. You know, most third world countries take a siesta. It's called the antipode, third watch of the sun, because that's the waning of a day. It's the waning of your chi. And quite frankly, that's when you'll find your memory challenged and people are more prone to arguments and to anger and to discomfort from 2:30 to 5. The Oregonian did a study and nailed it to 2:17. And so we know from 2:17 to 5 o'clock is the most challenging time of the day. And so you should be giving your brain a rest instead of taxing it with more activity and more thought and imagery. Just relax yourself. And if you absolutely have to medicate, then use the oil or take a chocolate or eat some medicine. But get right with the biorhythm of the day first, and then begin to really harness the value of this herb. And especially on the weekends, man, I don't know about you, but it's really quite something to be 37 years old and having, you know, first started working and smoking with cannabis at 15, 16 throughout my high school years. And then I put it down from 26 to 35 and then picked it up again at 36, 37 from a yogic paradigm or perspective. And I mean, I tell you, when you've got inflammation and pain in your body as a result of asana or other aerobics or athletics, then you find a great deal of relief, and it makes being home like no place in the world.
Yes, this is very true. I mean, the experience that I've had with cannabis, I mean, I was a hyperactive child, and I grew up in the Great North Woods of Wisconsin. You know, up there we grow up with Paul Bunyan and Babe the Blue Ox. From there, I was 13, and my parents moved me out to Arizona, a big city environment from a small town. And, well, I did end up meeting one of my friends who had moved out there 5 years earlier and got introduced to cannabis. And yes, I enjoyed it recreationally just as 90% of the other teenagers out there did. However, I did find that it actually slowed my thought process down so that my hyperactivity was no longer a detriment to my education. To this day, I mean, I'm a college student now at Central Washington University. I'm double majoring in sociology and history, and I'm holding a 3.664 GPA in my sociology. So, when they throw out that gateway theory, I like to come back with, yeah, it is true. Cannabis users do tend to go on to harder things, one of them being graduate school. It's a misperception, and unfortunately, the demonization that Anslinger managed to pull off from the 1930s into the 1960s, we are still combating that. It's sad to say, but, you know, America has some of the greatest propaganda machinery in the world. And there's a lot of great things about us, but our capability for propaganda is not one of them.
Yeah, well, you can just ask the Indians about that. I mean, I come from the Columbia River Gorge. It was the most diverse, highly cultured area probably in North America. But the remnant of those people is somewhat challenging and difficult to find. And when you think about the Chinook jargon, 1,000-year-old language, one of the oldest languages in the area being wiped out in 150 years, nobody even stops to ask these questions. Nobody even, you know, asks, you know, the spirit of the land to inform them or to help them to get right with the historic, colonization of an area. And that's another reason why they don't want you using cannabis, because it, when we say it's a lead-in, I mean, it activates your memory. It initiates qualities of thought and awareness that people get a little hyped out about, you know, and it's okay. It's only your brain.
It lets us think outside the box.
Yeah,
it
we're thinking outside the box.
Outside the box.
The box actually becomes a three-dimensional cube.
Exactly, and using that as a segue, I mean, thinking outside the box, you know, that's how we've got to approach the movement from here on out. I mean, we have been pounding our head against the brick wall of the federal institution. I'm not saying let's stop battering on that wall. We've got some dents made in there, and the cracks are appearing. Our own federal government is divided on the cannabis issue. So,
right, and crack kills.
You know, we've got the Veterans Administration in support.
Yep.
We have the DEA against. So, there's a crack.
Yep.
But the difference is, at the local level, we can all get involved, whether it be on your campus, whether it be in your own hometown. If it's on your campus, and no matter what your activism goal, mine happens to be cannabis, but playing into that, look at what one man did.
Yeah, that's right.
I changed,
got 2 minutes left in the program, Brian.
So
bring it home, man. Bring it home with that.
It could be done.
How do we find you?
Pardon me?
90 seconds in the program. Bring it home. How do we find you? What's going on? How do people get a hold of you? You're on the Facebook. Brian
Well, I'm
Grimmer,
on Facebook. You've got my phone number up there.
Give that to us again.
If you're serious about activism, whether it's cannabis or otherwise, get a hold of me. Let's get people involved in this country. Let's take our country back.
Give
now,
us
the
phone number again.
By William Domhoff, Who Rules America. This is a leading sociologist. He calls it the leading elite, or the the rich elite.
Right,
this
right.
is true. Let's take our country back for us, we the people.
Hey, you want a revolution? You got it. Give us your phone number, man.
Well,
phone
a
number.
Revolution would be a mild way of putting it. I would like
okay, my phone number is 503-505-6952 to reach Bud Justice. We have 30 seconds left in the program. Brian, I want to thank you. You've been listening to the Federale there in the background. This is music from La Rear, the Revolver record dedicated to the loving memory of Mr. Ryan Lee Sumner. And I want to thank Federale for the ambiance and the music that floats the boat. And I want to thank Ida and her son, Dustin, for being a part of that project. Brian, thanks again. It's really nice to meet you. Let's make it a point to connect and reconnect. We got the Facebook wire working. We've got web links up on the blogtalkradio.com/progressive party links. You can get more descriptive detail about the achievements up in Ellensburg, Washington. And is there anything else you'd like to say, bro, before wrapping it up?
Well, like I said, you know, all of us can get involved. One person can make a difference. Read the news. You'll see what we did up here in Ellensburg. You guys can do it too.
Well, on that note, we're going to do just that, man, and I look forward to working with you, Brian. Thanks again for reaching out.
Yep, thank you for having me on.
You're welcome. It's Pan Agent 67, Bud Justice on the wire with friends in far places and high places, reaching far and wide and bringing it right to your doorstep with the building blocks of biology and all the hits you can muster, Buster.